in our first carol for the lighting of the Christmas tree. So could you please turn towards the tree? And I hope you've all got your little tea lights lit. And I'll say a prayer of blessing, and then by magic the lights will come on. I hope. Loving God, this tree reminds us of all that is beautiful, all that is filled with the gentleness and the promise of God. It stands in our midst as a tree soon to be filled with light, and so will remind us that there is light and love and beauty in our world. Bless this tree, that it may be a sign to us here this afternoon and to all who see it, of the light and love and peace of Christmas. Amen.
Welcome, a very warm welcome to you all. Would you please be seated? And we all hope this service will be a significant one for you this Christmas time. And we at St. John's are delighted to be holding this service and hope it will bring some comfort to you if you are suffering the loss of a loved one recently. And I also hope you will stay for refreshments after the service, because Cath has been extremely busy and there are lots of goodies at the back of the church. But as we begin our service, let us pray. Loving God, as we draw near to Christmas, we thank you for the message of peace and love that Christmas brings to our world with all its troubles and sadnesses, and to our often troubled lives. May our hearts be open during this service to the peace and love that Christmas offers. And we pray also that the world may be open to the peace and love that Christmas offers. We make our prayer through Jesus Christ, who was born among us as a little baby, and yet is the Lord of peace and love and life. Amen. And now we have our first reading.
When Simon asked me to find a poem about stars and love to share today, the children's book, The Little Prince, immediately came to mind. A reading I have shared in funeral ceremonies many, many times, for its simplicity and its beauty. A sweet story that celebrates friendship, love, and bravery. Wise words teaching us how to say goodbye to those we love dearly. And where to find them. To find them again after they've gone, which is so, so pertinent at Christmas, when our loss is so incredibly strong. And the very time we need them the most. So here is an extract from The Little Prince. People have stars, but they aren't the same. For travellers, the stars are guides. For other people, they're nothing but tiny lights. And for others, for scholars, they're problems. For my businessman, they were gold. But all those stars are silent. But you, though you'll have stars like nobody else. What do you mean? When you look up at the sky at night, since I'll be living on one of them, since I'll be laughing on one of them, for you, it will be as if the stars are laughing. You'll have stars that can laugh. And he laughed again. And when you're consoled, for everyone is eventually consoled, you'll be glad you've known me. You'll always be my friend. You'll feel like laughing with me. And you'll open your window sometimes just for the fun of it. And your friends will be amazed to see you laughing while you're looking up at the sky. And then you'll tell them, yes, it's the stars. They always make me laugh. And when the hustle and bustle of Christmas festivities just gets too much, take some time out one bright night. Step outside. Take in the splendour of the moonlight and the stars shining bright. Really look at the stars. They shine and they glow. Yet some of those stars died a long, long time ago. But still they shine in the evening skies. For love, like starlight, never ever dies. Thank you.
you please be seated? I read now some words from St. Luke's Gospel. In this well-known passage to us, which describes the birth of Jesus, we also hear something even more precious, the birth of hope. For as the babe in the manger stretched out his arms in welcome, so his arms were stretched out on the cross as he died. Yet through his death, his resurrection, he opened to us all the gates of everlasting life, the hope which is set before us. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Please be seated. Here we are in a beautiful church. We did get the Christmas tree lights lit, and we have also lit the Paschal candle in the centre of the sanctuary. The Paschal candle is a sign that there is nothing that can overcome death, because the light and love and beauty of Christ is a sign that that overcomes all. And we've been hearing something of the Christmas story about the birth of Jesus. And we can be thinking, yes, it's a lovely story, but what has it got to do with me today? Yet one of the things about this story is that it happens within the ordinary circumstances of life. Think about that first Christmas. An emperor issuing decrees, taxing people, no doubt heavily, a couple unmarried and pregnant, a no vacancies sign, and field hands working the night shift. Those are real life circumstances, and real life is always the world of Christmas. It was then, and it is today. Christmas is about your real life. So for some of you here today, that maybe means Christmas is hard this year, painful. There's an emptiness. For others, it may be more joyful. For most of us, I suspect it varies from year to year. You know, sad Christmases, and we know joyful Christmases. Think back over the past year. I expect some of it has been difficult and painful. But there's also been love, I'm sure, and thanksgiving as you remember loved ones. A mixture. And whatever's been happening for you, it is deeply, deeply rooted in the Christmas story. I'm not really talking about the then and there Christmas story, the one that starts out in those days. I'm talking about the here and now Christmas story, the one taking place in these days, your days and my days. Because that's really the only Christmas story that matters. I mean, what good is it if an angel announces good news of great joy to the nighttime shepherds, if that good news is not also announced in the nighttime and night fields of our lives? We love the story, want to hear it again, be caught up in the wonder of it, but we want to know too, deep down, that despite the ups and downs of our story, and despite the emptinesses we face, Christmas is still true and still happening. We want to be reminded that light still shines in the darkness. That's partly why we lit the lights on the tree. We want to be reminded that good news is still being announced, that God is still with us, that the love that came down at Christmas still comes down today for you this Christmas. It is still true, all of it. Christmas is happening in whatever the circumstances of your life today. Christmas is just as real and present in the difficult and painful times as it is in the joyful and exciting times. I don't know how that happens. I only know that it does happen. I've experienced it in my life, and I've seen it happen in the lives of others. And I cannot tell you how it happens. But it happens Maybe when someone shows up in your life and says or does exactly what you need, comes and announces good news when you need it. Or what about the time you woke up to the beauty and possibilities of a new day after living through a night of darkness and loss? Or the time when hope and strength were somehow born anew in you? Or maybe you experienced some peace and contentment in circumstances that were neither peaceful nor what you wanted. If you have, I want to tell you that you've experienced Christmas. You have. In the weeks before Christmas, we have an empty crib here in our crib scene. And in these weeks before Christmas, I'm always drawn to sit with that empty crib, because we all have emptinesses in our lives. Christmas promises us that the empty places will be transformed by love and peace, a new life. It may take time, but that promise is there for each and every one of us. And I'd like to close with some words from something the choir in Ecclesia will sing for us shortly. The truth of Christmas is that love always, always will hold us and our loved ones. Love will cherish us. Love will cradle us. Always, always. That is the reality of Christmas. May we rest in that reality for ourselves and our loved and cherished ones we miss today.
Good afternoon, everybody. Just before we start our time of remembrance, I just wanted to just say a huge thank you to everyone for turning up today, but also really for the faith and the trust that you've had in us all at Crescent Funeral Services to look after your loved ones. And for those who have known me from a previous employment, for trusting me and coming along on our journey. The time that we spend here this afternoon is special. It's special to me and it's special to my colleagues because we never forget any of you. We never forget the faith that you put in us to care for those that you've loved so greatly. And that means a great deal. As we have a time of remembrance and reflection in a moment, the names of those that we have cared for will appear on the screen over here. I hope you can all see it. For those who are here, and for those who are remembering today, and for those names that are written only on our hearts, please use this time for reflection and to remember. Thank you.
Maria. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to hear our prayers and thanksgiving for all whom we remember today, and we are assured that you are here in our midst. We know that a loved one is missing, someone who made life special, someone who was dearly loved and loved us too. We know, Lord, that you show compassion to people in their sorrow. And as we pause today to remember, you will lift us from the darkness of grief to the peace and light of life in your presence. We give thanks for the life we have shared with each of our loved ones. We remember them today. We know that after our life on earth, we will be united with our loved ones in your kingdom. St. John's Gospel assures us that God, the greatest being, so loved the greatest emotion, the world, the greatest number of people, that he gave the greatest sacrifice, his only begotten Son, his greatest possession, that whoever, the greatest invitation, believes in him, the greatest plan of salvation, should not perish, the greatest assurance, but have everlasting life, the greatest gift of God. Lord, surround these people gathered here with your love, and we ask these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we gather our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us as we say the traditional form of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
When you look for peace, then peace lies within you. When you search for peace, then it is not hard to find. When you want to keep peace alive, then you allow white doves to fly over you. When you make peace with others, then the whole world lives in your heart. When you let peace be in the world, then you live in a wonderful world. When you allow peace to flow around the world, then your fears will go and love will flow. When you open the door for peace, then peace is welcomed into your lives. Let the peace prevail in our wonderful world. Thank you.